This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
You think we overpromised?
Nah.
I always love in the intro how you say tuned, like American.
Tuned.
Yeah.
In what? When did I say that?
You said it in the intro. Stay tuned.
Oh, stay tuned.
Like you know, those like cartoons from America. Like, stay tuned for the next episode of Dragon Ball.
I was putting the emphasis on the tune part. All right, Zariel.
But yes, look,
you that's mean a long. Looney Tunes isn't the theme.
No.
It could be.
Welcome back, Average Advice, your 29th favorite podcast.
Episode 12?
I think
13?
So.
13? One of the episodes.
It's an episode, and we've got a
new guest in the hot seat today, one of our old friends, Estelle.
Ready hello. For the interrogation today, yes, is Estelle.
Sure,
yeah, it's hello, even like, hello. If it's, we've even changed the layout of the room to look more like an interrogation.
I know, we've only got the one camera, so apologies to all our video watchers. We've been having a lot of technical difficulties with the cameras, so to apologize.
The footage
from the last couple of episodes might be a bit...
But it's an average podcast for a reason.
Yes, we're average people.
We have protected ourselves by our averageness.
And Jasper is being absolutely adorable.
Yeah, no, right? I was looking at that before, but I didn't want to bring it up because we can't move
the
camera.
Like this he's very cute.
He knows he's adorable. He just needs to be You've involved. Well. He needs to be involved in the room. Anyway, so we're back here. Episode... whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever the episode is. But
at least
math wasn't
12.
Our specialty. It's before. Okay.
Yeah. Estelle and I used to sit there and Matt's like,
what's this? I'd turn to Zaz. I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah. You guys were in specialist math though.
No, we weren't.
Oh, no.
Math
no.
methods. We were in like the second one.
The normal math.
Where we turned to like Chris Button, I think, and just be
yeah,
like,
yeah. Hey, so you Chris. Needed like, we had like maths apps and that was like the accredited
I was
kids.
Apps.
And then it was
I
like, you have to do methods for tertiary. And it's like, God damn.
Yeah. I did a tertiary. Well, most of my classes were tertiary classes, except I did an accredited degree, which means I only had to do accredited maths. But I only did it for a year and then I fucked that shit off.
Yeah, well, yeah. I look back to college and it's like, oh, I could have just like not gone to uni and just done like easy classes.
Yeah.
100%. And you know, maybe I would have been in the same exact place I am now. Who knows?
Well, you need a degree for your current job?
Nope.
You didn't need a degree.
No.
But I'm sure having
public
the degree.
Public service, baby.
But having the degree will open up new opportunities.
I mean, potentially, but I can do what I'm doing now without a degree.
Yeah.
So you're not in the pathology lab anymore?
Nah, fuck that right off.
Bailed that. Bailed off that.
Yeah, no, I was so.
He wanted to start getting real money.
Rhoda came in and Zar was like, no.
Yeah. No, when I was like, I'd like to make double what I make. And then I'm like, here's a public service job. Oh, okay, sweet.
Yeah, and it wasn't that much hard. It wasn't a hard jump, I'm sure.
No, not at all. It was a no-brainer decision, really.
Well, at that point, you were already pretty open.
I'd been looking for a job for like 6 months. And then I was like depressed. You know, you look for a job and you keep applying and then you just like, or you get rejected.
I think
rejected.
House hunting and job hunting are the worst
so
things
stressful.
In the world. I've just had to, because I'm moving to Sydney in a couple of weeks, so I've just had to
you
fucking
are?
Die.
No way.
Well, you know that, the people don't. All right. But yeah, I'm moving, but I've just had to, when I knew I was moving, I just applied for like every fucking place under the sun. But Sydney's one of those weird places that you have to offer more, like more than the asking price or you won't
otherwise,
get it.
Yeah,
you
won't even get looked at like,
no.
like
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Because
like,
there's at least three other people that are offering them $50 more, I guarantee it. It's so competitive in Sydney.
What
so,
about $350?
Ooh, that's a good price. Mm. That's a good price. Yeah, maybe if I wanted to live in the West.
you really want to live there?
No, I don't. No, you definitely don't.
That's the joke, Zar.
You have to pay good money in Sydney, dude.
I caught on to it in the end. But yeah, have you listened to much of the show? You listened to much of the season?
I love that question.
You can be honest. You can be honest.
Honestly?
None?
Zero.
0%.
That's fine. You can come in this with a fresh taste and then you'd be like, I'm on the show. So then, then you're going to be more inclined to go back and listen to the
fresh
rest of the episode.
That's all right. Because if he repeats one of his stories, you won't actually know.
No,
I'll sit here and be like, oh yeah, this is where Tim does this.
And
you'll
just
be like,
completely enthralled.
Compelled. Yeah, if that, you should jump in before, you know the story's coming. You know it's coming.
No, I can't read your fucking mind.
Yeah, you do.
Zar will say it for you. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'll next time you do it, I'll just tell
the story. Steal my story. Steals my story. You would too.
Pretends it's him.
You would
Wait,
too.
That happened me, dude. Come on. That time there was like the whistle outside your door and you were really freaked out, man. I know that story. There we
go. To be fair, you heard that story about 50 times before we even had the podcast.
Yeah, no, and then you told it twice more times on the podcast.
I told it to different guests.
All right.
That's right.
When I do the video and I edit the video, I'm just going to put like a story counter. So every time I repeat a story, okay, I'll just
Tim go, ding, repeats ding, himself. Ding. Or we have like the obviously or essentially counter.
Well, I think we've stopped doing that, eh?
So when we started doing the show, Tim, we'd listen to ourselves back. And then in the first couple of episodes, we'd listen to ourselves and be like, oh man, I say obviously a lot. Man, I say like every third word. And then we had to notice for the next episodes coming, like anytime I'd say the word, I'd say it and be like, I said it again. Yeah.
Well, whole hour podcast.
Yeah.
It was really, really hard for me because I have to edit it. So like, I'm just sitting there listening to myself say like, obviously like every second fucking word.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I know English. I know other words. Like, what am I doing with myself?
So to everyone listening, Estelle's a nurse.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So
yeah.
So give her the respect. She hates herself, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's kind of
where I respect anyone that wants to do nurse.
How many hours a week do you work?
That was quite S-y. I've actually dropped my hours. So since starting nursing, I originally
she's only doing 80
full-time.
Now.
Started off full time, but that was so obviously full time's 40 hours a week. But I was doing extras and doubles. So I'd probably close to 60.
Yeah, 60 hours.
I've since dropped my hours though because I started doing another uni degree. Hence, touching back on the fact how I hate myself.
What degree? I think that's anyone that goes into the medical field. You know for a fact that you're going to be studying. You're going to be studying.
Is it medical related?
It is medical related. So what I've done-
I mean, I would hope so. What a waste.
I'm getting a degree in accounting. Yay. Now I can do the bloody hospital's taxes.
I wish.
That's a good pay though.
I wonder if DeCruz is listening.
Yeah, DeCruz doesn't listen to this.
Sorry, continue. No,
you're good. I ended up doing my graduate diploma in emergency care nursing.
Oh, so I did it. I did a grad dip as well. Yeah, a grad dip.
Fuck, man, I feel like such a dum-dum.
Are you finding it easier?
Well, I finally finished.
Oh, yeah.
Pat up myself.
So what happened?
How many years did it take you to finish?
Postgrad's fucking breeze, man. Two. I did my bachelor's.
I thought it was going to be way longer than
that. And I think there's multiple factors that led into this, but I did my bachelor's, failed a few classes, was getting like passes and credits, maybe the occasional distinction. That did my-
Please get degrees,
did
dude.
My postgrad, and I was averaging 93 across all my years. Literally.
Why is it? Is that because there's just- want either you're smarter or is it just easier?
I was, the content is more focused in a direct, because you're doing like a postgrad, so it's less general and you're like focusing on a particular area.
And usually you pick a postgrad in the area
that you're interested in. So I was more interested. I was more focused because I was older. I was like 27.
Yeah.
Whereas when I did my bachelor's, I was 18.
That is old to us.
I was like, why am I at uni when I could just go get drunk?
Yeah.
I'm 18, you know?
Yeah. The thing that helped me was that because I dropped my hours at work and then I only did like 2 units a semester. So that helped me get through it.
Man, but I don't
then,
know,
it,
like,
then I made it longer.
I respect people that go back at our age to do uni because it's just like, it's so much harder because you can't really just drop your life and just focus on studying anymore. Mm. You have bills, you're paying rent, you still
the
need
work
a,
part
you still
time
need to work. Like you don't unless you're a rich bitch and you're just lucky, which I don't think anyone at this table is, unfortunately.
Hey.
Oh. I don't
know. Be rich if I wanted to be.
Bro, we've been friends for 12 years,
you
dude.
You see this hand? You see this hand? Pure gold.
Yeah, dude, that's an office hand.
It's just hiding under the skin.
That's an office hand right there. No calluses at all.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, there's a few from clicking the mouse.
Oh, it's
and the scroll. The scroll.
Oh, don't even get me started on the scroll.
Yeah, scroll burn.
Scroll burn.
Dude, that's some intense scrolling, dude.
I also get coffee burn.
Oh, coffee burn. Well,
swipe burn when you're just going through Facebook.
It's because I use my scrolling.
Is it swiping the Tinder?
Yeah, look. I realized I was doing the Tinder swipe, but I wanted to like sugarcoat it. So I was just going to say Facebook.
And there's me being like, no.
The video would have understood. But you just dubbed me in.
I did.
So tell us Is there any juicy nurse stories?
Sure. Is it like Grey's Anatomy? Does everyone just fuck at the hospital?
No. Well, kind of like.
What do you mean?
So there are a lot of relationships like within the staff. So it is kind of like that. Very but a lot of them are like married or like.
Did
with
they
kids.
Meet on the job?
Yeah, that sort of thing. That's and they've been together for like 10 years.
They're there like 14 hours a day. How else are you going to meet anyone?
And
unless
it's finding
at work?
That someone that like understands the kind of work you do and the shift work.
They understand that you're probably not going to see each other a lot.
Yeah, pretty much. Like. Those kind of it makes a really big difference.
Those kind of jobs, it has to be like that police officer. Those thing where you sort of have to put your entire life on hold for the job because, I mean, as a police officer, like especially, I mean, I've watched a lot of SVU lately, which is where this is coming from. But
so
like,
from personal experience,
yeah, from personal experience. But like obviously, that's not 100% accurate. But for if you're like late at night, you're with your wife or whatever, you get a call and you have to go to work. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like you have to drop everything because work comes first.
How much scroll burn did you get from doing that research?
Mate, scroll burn. I'm just sitting there on the couch. Like,
Scroll burn? Scroll burn sounds like a nickname. We should give someone a nickname. Scroll burn.
All right. It can be yours, don't worry.
Okay, I'm down.
No.
Have you seen anyone die?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
lots.
Like brutal like, yeah. question. Like all right.
I mean, I assume you'd get
we're,
people
We're
that
only in like the first 5-10 minutes, aren't we?
10, 11.
It's 11.
Oh, dude, see? Straight it's up for 10 o'clock. Minutes. That's
it's
when we get
only
deep.
Only up from here.
It's only up from
that's
here.
We, that's when we get deep. Yeah. No, but so how long have you been in a nurse for?
6 years.
6 years. So, and
well,
you've,
coming up six
and you've
years,
seen a lot of people die?
Oh, I want to. It's difficult to remember exactly. I definitely remember my first.
Yeah, that one will stick with
recent.
You, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. And what, I want to say maybe
it,
10 to 15.
Does it get easier? Or is it still just
it
like...
It just gets different.
Yeah.
It depends on the family members. It depends on the patient, how much time you've had with them. So like my first patient that I cared for through the journey of death or to death was...
Like, did they come in knowing that you were going to die?
They actually came into the ICU and they were expecting some sort of help and that sort of thing. But they actually had quite a few things going on.
Incurable.
They were bleeding health out concerns. From inside, right. That sort of thing. So, but she was really sweet, really older.
That'd be hard.
And we kind of chatted for a little bit until she started to decline and then she ended up passing away. But what was hard was that the son didn't want to let go. That they're probably my hardest ones. It's where family members don't realize where the natural kind of course of it is going.
Yeah, you need to leave. And you sort of have to
it would be
point
hard
it out.
News to break to people too.
It is because we have so Doesn't much the, technology and abilities.
The doctor
that
gives them the bad news though, right? Yes, I was going to say you wouldn't have to
I have been there with the social worker when we've informed someone that the driver of the car they were in had passed.
Yeah.
I've been there present for that. But as nurses, it is not our responsibility to pass on that sort of bad news. It was the social worker telling
like,
her
you,
as well.
You can barely get any information out of nurses, dude. Like unfortunately, my grandma just died. She passed away yesterday, actually.
So is this the one you were talking about last?
No, that's fine. It's fine.
I'm just saying,
she was
literally
96.
Talking about how she's like, I'm going to die soon, Tim.
She passed away yesterday. Like we knew she was going to pass like a couple of weeks ago, but she's like 96.
Yeah.
So we went up and saw her, like, my brother, Corey, my older brother on my dad's side, he called us and he was just like, if you want to go see her, you should probably go now.
Yeah.
So we all took days off. We went up and saw her, but like, I mean, she was pretty senile, pretty in a bed. She couldn't really talk. But like, just trying to get any information out of the nurses at all, it's impossible because they're just like, they're
like lockboxes.
They're like, we'll just get a doctor for you. And then an hour and a half later, no doctor.
So that's probably the biggest difference as well, like with your, when you mentioned the Grey's Anatomy and that sort of stuff, when you were saying, is it like that? It's like, we don't see as much traumatic stuff depending on the day and the sort of things that are happening. But the doctors also don't do as much. You see on Scrubs and Grey's Anatomy, there's like five
They're paid
doctors.
The big bucks.
They're not going to go to uni for 12 years to do things.
Are
you kidding me?
No, of course not. You need a cup of tea? I'll get the nurse.
The whole part of becoming a doctor is doing the 12 years of shit.
Yes.
And then you're like, okay, now I don't
to then do delegate.
But you don't even delegate. Most of the time the nurse is just do it, right?
Yeah.
Their doctor's like just give him a bloody like, 2 cc's of bloody...
From my understanding, the doctor comes in, diagnoses the problems, but then you guys do like the day-to-day and the day-to-day like applying of the medicine and looking after them and stuff.
100%,
so the doctor has the final say of what's actually wrong with them, but then you guys are actually on the ground helping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why people don't really understand what nurses do, I think. And like...
Yeah.
Right.
There's certain procedures and stuff obviously doctors are only trained to do and that sort of thing. Like the other day we had a youngish bloke hit by a car, and he had bilateral pleural effusions. And what he needed
in English, please.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I know what bilateral fusions are.
We know what that means still, but for the viewers, yeah, come on.
So
for all the laymen,
I'm gonna turn so that you can kind of see. Basically, what it is where you have fluid going between the pleural spaces of the lungs. So if your lungs start not being able to expand because you've got a lot of fluid around
them. The lungs are the things that you breathe with.
See? Oh, you're so smart.
Isn't he? We did bio together.
Yeah. Sorry.
How different careers you've got.
The pleural space fills with
liquid. So it can either be just like...
That's not in the lung, right? That's outside the lung?
Outside the lung, which is almost worse because your surface area can't expand properly.
So you can't breathe.
You can't breathe, literally. Yeah. But it can feel not ideal. As well.
can invoke death.
Yeah.
So what we do is we put in chest drains. And so I was assisting. So I can be a nursing assist. I can't do the actual procedure. But basically I got to help the doctor grab all his gear. We basically cut open this guy either side.
Lost me.
Was he awake? Or was
no, he was very much okay. Asleep.
Could you imagine? Like,
hey man, we're gonna cut you open now.
That's why, dude. Brain surgery.
He fell asleep after we started.
I guess he did pretty quickly. I guess in your job, you just kind of assume that everyone would assume that. So
yeah, no,
I
had just like brain because brain surgery.
It's just the way you said it. Yeah, we just cut him open. I assume he was on the operating table first.
Well, not quite the operating table. So I work in ED. I've been in ED the past 5 years.
What's that?
Emergency department.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Erectile dysfunction.
I know you were asking for clarification for the viewers.
Yeah, you know.
You guys are glad that we're asking.
So it was just in one of our resus bays. And yeah, we just had to, in order to help save his life and prolong what potential could have, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we put these big wide bore drains in and we then just let everything or out, so then he can breathe better.
I could literally never do this job. Like I knew from
there's
an early on.
There's a lot of poop as well.
From an early
there's poop stories.
Early day on.
Have you had to clean up people's poop?
That's like her main job, bro.
That's
every day.
People are bedridden. Where do you think they go, dude? Yeah.
Do you get a bonus for the amount of just kilograms gross. Of poo per
There's
week?
There's no hazard pay.
Yeah, I was going to say, people get hazard pay, but you should get gross pay.
Just general grossness.
Yeah.
The one thing that I can't do is feet. And this one guy that came in.
You can deal with shit, but feet, nah.
This one guy came in, couldn't feel his feet. And it turns out a few days before he just watched this blowfly come on and lay some eggs and then fly away. He didn't do anything to stop it. Comes in with all these maggots in his foot.
Oh, what,
did he have like a cut on his foot or something?
Yeah, he had a bit of an ulcer and that's right. Yeah,
when they just laid eggs in inside. Yeah. How would you not see that?
Well, he saw it. He watched it.
What a
and
dumb,
then he didn't
dumb.
Do anything for like 4 days. And
he's
like,
dumb, dumb McGee.
I'm not going to fucking move my hand
and
to
look,
swat the
he's
fly.
He's not wrong, but his theory was that the maggots are eating the dodgy parts, right? They leave healthy skin alone. That's why they used maggots once upon a time as actual therapeutic treatment.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's,
it's just
literally disgusting. Things are eating your feet.
Yeah.
They're eating your feet.
It gave me the heebie-jeebies. And I've
gives me the heebie-jeebies.
That's a bit of a heebie-jeebie.
And to be fair, I don't think that's anything to do with not liking to touch feet. That's like
that's
a whole different level.
In general.
I don't like touching feet covered in maggots. I don't think anyone does.
That's a specific category.
Look, if everyone's feet was covered in maggots, I'd also hate feet.
And then, taking socks off some of the older patients and the skin flakes.
This is delicious, delicious conversation.
That is the grossest image
I love that you're the one that asked, and now you're like, oh, yeah, regrets.
Would you ever become a nurse practitioner?
I have half looked into it. So,
what's the difference?
So, once I finished my graduate diploma, I was like, oh my God, only 3 more units to my master's.
Only.
And then I was like,
only another 6 more years.
Or do I want to do my nurse practitioner? So, nurse practitioner is kind of between a nurse and a doctor in that they have prescribing rights. They can
it's
see
like head nurse sort of thing.
Yeah. You can kind of call it like that. And they also run all the
walk-in Scrubs,
all the walk-in centers.
In Scrubs, it's Carla. Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if America has. They would.
I thought she was just a nurse. I don't know if she's a nurse practitioner.
She's like the main nurse, though.
Yeah,
right?
She was like head nurse of the department.
She was like the one that did rostering and shit.
Oh, okay. So like the unit manager.
Yeah, like the main nurse woman.
I can't say my scrub knowledge is completely up to scrub.
You say you're a nurse, Jesus.
Yeah, I know exactly.
You ain't a true nurse. Unless you watch Scrubs every day.
The only thing you do is just watch Scrubs and Grey's Anatomy and ER on repeat, right? I thought that's how you learn things.
No, we had the footy on the other night. It was great.
What is like the most common Like, is there like a most common kind of thing people come in with?
Oh, it depends on the day. I know that sounds weird, but like on weekends, 100% sporty injuries.
Oh, yeah.
What's the funniest thing you've ever seen? Has you ever seen like someone, someone's like dick gets stuck somewhere?
Like Mr. Bean where he gets his hand stuck in the teapot. You know that? He's just like, they're like, what's the problem? And then he steals the ticket from the
people
guy
that can't see.
He steals the ticket from the guy that's covered in bandages, like bad, completely
bad piercing jobs with a couple of silly ones like that. Like in terms of
with
like the ears,
homemade ones,
the
or
ears, the ears swollen over the piercing and they can't get the piercing out, so they have to like pull it out,
break their skin, basically.
Yeah.
Why? How would you? How did that happen though?
Shout like, out I to swear. The walk-in centers though. Walk-in centers can do a lot because of their nurse practitioners and all
that. Oh, look at those big words.
Yeah.
So,
so you still
undecided on when you want to do that though.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what's
the other option if you don't do that?
Yeah, if you do this post grad, what does that mean? Does it add something?
A little bit of a pay rise.
Allegedly. You can do new stuff
allegedly.
No. We'll nothing see. New stuff. No, it just broadens my knowledge, gives me a bit more depth of context of the human.
So you don't do anything different. You just know more and they give you
just
more
know
money.
More. Yeah, exactly.
And with nurses, right, you can basically work anywhere in Australia.
Pretty much.
With, you can't go overseas. You need additional training?
Well,
or?
You need to pass certain things like in terms of, I think some of their laws in Canada and America, you have to apply for like certain permits.
Yeah.
But I've got mates that are currently working in Europe as travel nurses.
That's baller.
And we can go to New Zealand pretty quickly.
Dude, I think that's the coolest thing. Any job that you can do globally and you don't really need like additional like laws. Like even with a lawyer, right? You still need to pass the bar in that area.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
No, I knew two people in my old job who had... They were doctors in India, like a medicine degrees. Come to Australia means nothing.
Yeah, no, Australia.
They literally have to go back to uni and get a new medicine degree. Yeah.
But I guarantee if like someone was a doctor in Australia and they went to India, it would be recognized.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Like, yeah, Australia's just douchebags.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like, it's like
just a baseline personality.
There's only a scale that they figure it out
with. And only in Australia is your Uber driver probably more qualified to do medical procedures than you are. Like that's like a legitimate thing. Yeah, legitimate thing.
Yeah.
I reckon there's a lot of them that come over. They're real professional. They want to come over here and obviously build a better life for themselves over here.
And they just can't.
But they can't get ahead because they need to earn money so then they can like do the medical degrees and stuff over here because it doesn't recognize, which is so bad. Like,
yeah. I haven't gone through the process myself, but apparently there's you do have to go through a pretty rigorous screening kind of thing with the travel agencies and all that sort of stuff. And you have to like prove your qualifications.
Australia's just very conceited lately. You know, you remember back in the day, they used to be like the multicultural country and now we're like, yeah, get the fuck out.
Do you reckon that's COVID driven?
No, I think it was way before COVID.
Well, I don't know.
Before COVID, but it's definitely gotten worse.
Well, I mean, maybe we are like that, but I feel like our country is getting more and more like mixed, like, different races. I mean, we've got so many bloody Chinese people in Sydney and stuff. And in Melbourne, it's like the second highest population of Greeks after Athens, I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In Melbourne. So it's like Athens, Melbourne, and then the rest of the Greece.
Don't get me wrong. I still think that we're a multicultural country. We definitely have a lot of different cultures here, but I think it's just harder for from different countries to get into Australia now. Like before, pre 9/11, I reckon that we just had like the biggest open door policy. People were just coming in a lot easier. And now-
Yeah, even before terrorism.
Yeah, before the terrorists. And now it's just a lot harder.
Have you ever had a terrorist come into the hospital?
I don't think it's on the like application.
Anyway,
I saw you
touch and look at the tub. So
yeah, I knocked it by accident. Yeah, that's technically touching.
It's a sign from the Lord. Pick us a topic.
We explain the bucket though. The bucket is a bucket of mystery.
It's a beautiful bucket.
Pure plastic.
It's rectangular.
Because you haven't listened to any of our episodes, we can explain. So the first season we had, each episode was like more of a theme. Like every episode was its own theme. But we wanted to move away from that this season. So we got everyone to write down a sentence, word, question, and put it in the bucket. So
I add to it at the end?
Correct. Yeah. So then it induces spontaneous conversation.
Or as other people would say, induces.
Yeah, induces, whatever.
Stay tuned.
Tomato, potato.
You're expecting induces.
Induces. Like apple.
Zaro is pregnant. FYI. Yes. All right, moment of
I'm
truth.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to tell
pick
one?
You pick one first, then we'll
talk
about
it. Yeah, we can do. We can pick three.
Well, if it's a really good topic, we can just go.
Look,
for
if it's
it.
One that lasts 45 minutes, then we'll fucking. Ooh, she flicked.
I think that's one I of did. Them.
Hmm, interesting. Is monogamy sustainable long term?
What? Oh, that's a good. Whoever wrote that, that's a good fucking question.
Is monogamy?
Monogamy is just one partner, right? That's correct. What. Yeah.
Yeah, like sticking with one person.
100% that's sustainable.
I think with work, yes.
100% sustainable. Yes. Obviously, it's been working. Like, of course, it's sustainable. But I think that new avenues of relationships are more forming and more acceptable now, for sure.
It's completely situational.
Yeah.
Like, it's really. I mean, it depends on your relationship, who you are, who they are. Like, you know, my grandparents been married 50-60 years.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be together until they die. Like that's guaranteed.
But I think I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's what the question is sort of relating now, because back in the day, I think it was more socially expected for relationships to last the distance, right?
Yeah.
Where now it's more like, I mean, the divorce rate is more successful than the
more successful.
You know, like the divorce rate is higher than.
It's got a higher win rate than wedding, than marriage.
Higher
win rate.
Marriage, yeah. So it's just like, is that where things are going? Are we getting so used to just sort of everything changing every 6 years?
What I think, and you guys can tell me if you agree or you think I'm an idiot, right?
I always think you're an idiot.
Wow. I think, with everyone at your fingertips.
Yep.
Your ability to the ability to talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and get attention from people and potentially, you know, find people who are interested much easier than back in the day where you actually had to go out and
do
find,
things,
and go out and actually find a person that was interested in you on the streets.
It's definitely a lot
Can
easier.
Can you believe that?
I feel like it's a lot easier for people to cheat on people too because of that, because it's a lot easier to hide those situations.
And I think a lot of this-
Pizza Hut keeps calling.
Yeah.
I think-
Why is he sending you love hearts?
I think there's a lot of this- you know, you see like TV shows and movies of like ideal boyfriends and girlfriends or relationships and stuff. And I think people think that they don't have that. And then they get sad in their relationship because it's not like, it's not like their relationship when they were always happy and stuff.
From my experiences, what I've found is especially like in the relationship that I have had, I haven't had many, like many real ones, but the relationships that I have had, I don't feel like we were wanting to work at the problems that we've had. You know what I mean? I think that's just might be early, sort of early 20s relationships. But those hurdles that you get to in the early stages of your relationships, I feel like a lot of people would just sort of not put enough effort into sort of solve those and come from a good place. And then they end up just crashing and burning because they're not willing to put the effort into sort of get through that first
time.
And
they're not on the same page in terms of their expectations around the relationship or what they're looking for long term.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
absolutely.
I definitely reckon it is an interesting question for sure, because
good question.
Yeah. Whoever put that in, thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. Like Zara was saying, or even Tim, maybe both of you, who knows.
We're the same person.
There's definitely a lot more accepting culture around different types of relationships at the moment as well.
For sure.
But I also think as an inherent kind of species, we're constantly looking for things that make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you were saying, Tim, with your analogy around like those hurdles, trying to overcome those hard things, sometimes they don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't want to do it because it doesn't feel good. And
everyone would have a successful relationship if it was easy.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're always trying to find that thing that makes you feel good and exciting. And a lot of time it's new love talking to someone.
The problem is the grass is always greener though. So like if you're in a situation and it's not working and you're not really putting the effort in your own situation, in your relationship, because you're talking to other people, you're getting attention from somewhere else, right? Yeah. Which means like there's things at home that you need to work on, but because you're getting attention from someone else, you're not going to put that effort in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you'll end up because you'll be like, oh, I really like this person I'm talking to. Mm. But then you'll go over there and it's fucking terrible because like you've started on a bad note. You've basically cheated on you're never going to build a foundation of trust in that regard. So then you'll end up missing or regretting that situation. And it's just like, the grass is always greener. So it's make sure that you deal with all avenues in the one scenario before you cut and burn it.
I think it's absolutely sustainable.
It's definitely sustainable.
With work and communication and honesty.
You need to have someone that matches your maturity and your desires, and someone that you can communicate these things with, and someone that's willing to, you know, I guess make adjustments to suit your need, their need, et cetera, et cetera.
I think also recognizing that you're dating the person who they are. Don't think you can change
them.
This is to like men, women, whoever. Don't date them for who you might turn them into. Date them for who they are, and don't expect to change
how
them.
How they make you feel.
99% of the time, you're not going to be able to change them, do anything like that. Let's be honest, we're all very set in our ways.
If someone came to me tomorrow and I really, really liked them, but like they kept trying to like, they're really pushing me to go to church or shit like that.
Something that
even if I love them completely, I'll be like, yeah, this is not going to work. Because I'm like, I'm not going to go to church.
But things like your marriage and your children. Some people just don't want kids. Exactly. So if you have someone coming up to you and be like, you know what? I'm 29. I have to have start children.
I would respect that, honestly. If someone came up to me and said, look, I want kids, I'm like, what? Like a month or so of us dating.
Soon, is where I was trying.
They'd be like, look, I really want kids. I'll be like, well, yeah, I don't. So, and I'd rather know that earlier. So then I don't waste their time, because then they can go out and find someone else.
And then those expectations are met. You're not butting heads constantly.
The thing is with this kind of question, what makes me think of, you know, cheating and all like those sorts of conversations is they're difficult.
People are
pussies. People are literally too scared to have those conversations, especially with someone that they like have feelings for, because they don't want.
It's hard to have any super like real deep conversations with anyone. Like I've been friends with you for 12 years, and I could probably count like the real deep, dark like conversations we've had on one hand, you know what I mean? Like we've had a lot of drunk conversations where we've gone into those deep things, but it's like
but we're not trying to be in a relationship together. I mean, if you're having this sort of conversation,
you're not in one.
Yeah, I mean,
not like publicly.
Keep it on the DL,
not publicly, but
it's a safe space, guys.
You know, this kind
I'm not
of
gay.
The kind of conversations that make this work is maturity and the honesty and not being scared to hurt their feelings, because ultimately you have to risk that to make a relationship
work. I feel like making them a little butt hurt early on is going to save you like a lot of butt hurt.
That's a good relationship. That's a good relationship right there. I agree. It's difficult to have those conversations, but I mean, if you're in a relationship, I don't know, maybe it's just because I've been single for a while and I've been like, I'm just like, I'm happy with where I am and who I am with by myself. So like if someone else came into this,
they're
and
only
like,
adding to it.
They didn't
make
correct.
You.
They yes. didn't, they didn't yeah. gel. If they're not gelling with me, then I'm happy
really
for them
to
leave.
That's the thing is like, I feel like you've reached a stage of maturity now. You've had a lot of, you know, bad or average relationships that you know what you want.
Yeah.
And you are willing to have that kind of difficult conversation with someone that you could potentially date. And that's what you need to do, especially if you want to last long term.
Without bringing yourself down.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
negotiate your
basically
own morals.
What, like, it's like when Yaz and I got together, Yaz was like, straight away was like, if this is going to work, I need this from you. And I go, and I need this and this. And then, boom. But like, if it's going to be long term, that needs to happen early.
Yes.
And honestly.
Yeah, and for sure. And it's like, you're not,
and
you shouldn't.
And checkups every now and again.
Checking
in. And you shouldn't like.
How you doing, buddy?
If you're happy by yourself, like I'm happy to be by myself. So then you're willing for them to go. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So then if they're, because I found a lot of the relationships
doesn't
that
devastate you.
Yeah. Mm. A lot of the relationships, they stay and they're willing to like, oh no, I'll do whatever you want because you want them to be in your relationship.
I'm lost without
you. Yeah, which is dumb. It's because stupid. It's like, if they're trying to make you do something you don't want to do, then clearly it's not working.
Yeah,
you
know I've had like previous relationships where I was so like scared of losing them that I did things that I knew they wouldn't like, and then would lie about it and things like that. And it's so dumb. I look back and I'm like, what a fucking little pussy. Yeah. Just fucking, like, you just got to be direct with your feelings and then you'll work it out if it's meant to be.
Because that's going to be worse too. Like, in the long term, that's going to be worse. Like, if you do something behind their back that you know they're not going to want to do, like, you're just going to end up having a fight anyway. So it's just like, you might as well bring it up. Just like, look, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
And if they want to be with you long term, they will
work it out.
They will figure it out. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll be like, "All right, well, see ya. Have a good day. Pack your bag. See ya." Yeah.
And I suppose, but on the other side, on the flip side, right? It also comes down to how much you're willing to sacrifice for the people that you like, right? So if you really, really love this person,
I think there's an extent that you can sacrifice.
There's a line, because it's like if someone comes up,
I only date guys with one arm.
say for instance, look, maybe that's a bit dramatic. But like, say for instance, you went to the gym every day for like 2 hours, right? And then she'd be like, well, look, I haven't seen you in ages, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, I need you to go to the gym less. Like, I know 100% of people would break up because of that. But I think there's, you know, flexibility on sacrifice.
And it's kind of like
thinking about the other person.
I mean, that's like an ultimatum. I mean, I feel like if you're going to make ultimatums, it's going to, you know, it's going
to. Sometimes you have to, though.
Sometimes you have to.
That's what we're talking about, right? An ultimatum is just like, this is what I want. Either take it or leave it.
I don't think necessarily ultimatums are involved. Well, I think ultimatums are very polarizing, can either be devastation or it can be success. But like, I don't think all long-term relationships have ultimatums.
That's how I ended up with my partner as an ultimatum.
But what?
Oh, really?
I was literally like, okay, so we've been seeing each other for 6 months and I was basically like, okay.
Done.
I see myself being with you.
Mm.
And he goes, yeah, I just don't like labels.
Yeah.
I hate yeah. Anyway. So I was like, well, either we start dating like properly kind of thing, or yeah, I'm going to head out. And he goes, oh, okay. And then I was like, so will you be my boyfriend? And he goes, yeah, I guess.
Do you want to go steady with me?
Here we are 3.5 years later.
Do you want to go steady? But like, as if like, say for instance, you didn't want to get married, right? You know, you don't want to get married. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, you come in and she's like, oh, we're going to get married or we're going to leave. That's an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the
conversation. I'm not saying they don't happen. Oh. I'm saying it's not always needed for this.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I agree with you, but
in
like,
most relationships, ultimatums are a thing, like in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
We'll have to do a survey on that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. All of our 27 listeners.
Yeah. Send us how many ultimatums.
I love our numbers. Like, we always just make up random numbers. I'm like, this is your 27th podcast.
All 33 of our listeners.
Why don't you say 2,700 then if you're making them up?
You know, because
we don't have that many viewers. Come on.
Well, we like to psych ourselves in the head.
Hello, all of Australia.
Hey, we're realistic. Okay?
Driving you home.
That was a really good one. Whoever wrote that, it might have been Cass. It might have been Cass, but yeah. Maybe it was Kelly.
It might have been Cass.
Anyway, good fucking topic. You're a bloody champion, and I'm going to move on to the next one. Let's see what we
next
can.
Next it up.
I think we've had that one.
Well, get rid of that
the
one.
Wellness culture one.
Definitely had that one. Throw that bitch out.
Why do you keep putting them back in?
Sometimes they'll be next to him.
It's not me.
Sometimes they'll be next to him, and I'll just.
It's not me, and I don't think it's Estelle.
I think that maybe they've fallen out.
Oh, well, okay. Well, this one actually has a name. So that makes me feel like that might have been Kelly. Oh, is it similar writing?
Did she put it?
Oh, no. I think it is Cass as well. Anyway.
Good job, Cass.
This one I think it kind of relates a little bit to that one. What is your opinion on ghosting someone?
Oh.
Is it ever okay?
That's another good question. Good job.
Coming from a woman who I know probably has ghosted a few people.
I think I've already mentioned my opinions on this in previous episodes.
That's right, Tim. I won't call you up for repeating.
Do I have permission to say it again?
Yeah, you do. Let Estelle go first.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, you reckon?
Yes. Tell us.
I reckon ghosting just kind of tries to delay those difficult things that we were talking about earlier, those difficult feelings.
It's a coward thing. Pussy.
Being someone that has ghosted and being ghosted on, I don't really think overall it's particularly acceptable. It takes next to nothing just to explain your reasons.
Correct. And like,
you don't need to either.
Literally just being a coward. That's all it is. It's just like, you don't want to have the difficult conversation saying, hey, I'm not really interested in this.
Yeah.
I think the thing people don't realize is you don't owe them shit.
Yeah.
If you just don't want to talk to them, you don't have to tell them why. I mean, you just be like, bye. And then they go, why? You're like, I don't have to tell you.
Yeah, I know.
It is a dog move.
I think it depends on the relationship. Yeah. Like, if it's someone that I've been seeing for 3 months, let's say.
I don't think I've ever ghosted someone on that sort of.
Yeah.
I haven't really ghosted anyone.
Are we talking friend ghosting or relationship ghosting?
That's a completely different ball game.
I have only ghosted people that I don't really know that well.
Yeah.
If it's someone I know, acquaintance. I don't think I've ever ghosted anyone like that.
I mean,
there's been people that tried to talk to me that I don't know at all and I just stop replying.
My version of ghosting is like, I would maybe not reply to a message, but if they text me again, I'll reply. But like, I wouldn't like keep the conversation going, you know what I mean? I would make it very clear that I want this conversation to stop going, and I wouldn't then approach them with a text, you know what I mean? But if they text me, I will keep replying. But just like very, very, you know.
Would you guys ghost someone if you say you went on like a Tinder date and it was a pretty average to shit date and you were like, I'm not keen. And they were like, they thought it was really good and they're like texting you. Would you ghost them?
I've done that.
I wouldn't
ghost them just straight up.
This one guy, he reckons he's the Canberra version of Ed Sheeran.
Is he though?
Yeah, he kind of looks like Ed Sheeran.
Kinda, in love with the really. Shape of no, you.
Anyway,
but we Ed Sheeran's out. Good part is not what he looks like.
No,
like,
no, it isn't. His talent. Anyway, so we're out sitting at dinner. I'm pretty sure it was one of the pubs down at Civic.
Yep, romantic.
And he went in for a high five. Yeah, it was King O's.
A high five.
He went in for a high five. He missed, hit my face. My glasses fell to the ground.
Was this like as soon as you met him?
No, this was like
that was
after
a goodbye high
meeting.
Five.
And he kept going to the bathroom like multiple times. Well, that's why I was like, the fuck is going on? So I asked him and he goes, no, I'm just messaging my best mate. And he shows me the messages and they're like saying how like, well, he thinks the date's going,
awkward.
This and that.
Don't
and
then, show your date those.
And then at the end of it, he's like, oh, I'd love to catch up again. Oh, you were really cool.
Cute.
The conversation flowed well, that sort of stuff. And I was like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Why weren't you keen then if it flowed well?
I don't like getting slapped in the face.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And he just came off a little strong. Like, yeah. You know, you want to keep a little bit of mystery around there.
But,
like, oh yeah. Well, yeah, from yeah. experience,
this,
yeah.
But this
yeah.
is this is my, like, this is why I don't like ghosting, is because if you told him that, like, even if he, like, he messages the next day, right? Say, hey, that was really fun. I want to meet you again. If you came in, it's like, look, you came on a little bit strong. Like, I don't really like that. I don't really have the feelings. I don't have the spark. He might take that, like, sort of feedback, and then the next girlfriend
constructive,
like, because the next person he goes to,
I just responded like, oh, I'm not particularly interested.
But that's fine, as long as you responded. Yeah. But like, even if you give back construct, because me personally, right? If I go on a first date and I think it goes well,
yeah,
and then the girl just doesn't respond, then I'm left with my own head. I'm like, I thought it went well. What the fuck happened? You know what I mean? So like, it's sort of one. It helps me get closure because I'm just like closure. I'm like, all right, look, understand. Like, if you're not keen, you're not keen, but. If you just don't say anything, then it could be anything. You know what I mean? Like, and then your own brain fucks with you.
Yeah.
Like. So
well, it helps you learn.
Yeah. And then exactly. And it's just like, yeah, look, I'm not right for you.
Since when was this average advice? This is great advice. What are you talking about?
We say average to protect ourselves from the lawyers.
If we ever give advice and someone follows it and it fails, we'll be like, hey, well, it's just average advice. Yeah,
mate. Hey there, my name's Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked previously in a previous episode. You would have known if you'd listened. But
Maybe I did listen to that once.
We have an episode called Dating Game or something.
Dating
is like a massive game and it sucks. Mm-hmm. And so everyone is constantly trying to figure out how do I date and how do I like...
play the field a little bit.
And so I feel like what Tim was saying is like if you go on a date, you think it went really well and then they just ghost you. You're like, you don't learn anything. You're like, I don't know what I did wrong. Like, but they're like, oh, you're just ugly.
Yeah.
You're like,
that's basically what you think.
Okay.
Though, like,
I need to work on my personality because I'm ugly. or at least wear makeup or something.
If someone came back to me with feedback saying, hey, you were really great, you were really funny, but like, I'm just not attracted to you, I'd be like, well, look, there's not really much I can do about that. So, cool. Like, I won't feel bad about that because I'm like, you weren't attracted to me. There's literally nothing I can change that.
Like, I feel like it's like ripping the band-aid off.
Yeah.
But if she
came back and said, oh, look, I wasn't happy because you said this joke or you started saying all these like sexist things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because I am very extrovert and I'm very blasé with the things that I say because I just say things. Anything that could get a rise or a laugh, I'll say it. I don't really care. And sometimes that doesn't sit well with people, you know what I mean? So,
well, I guess we should answer the question, like, what is your opinion on it? And is it ever okay?
I don't think it's okay. Like, let's separate it between friendship ghosting and relationship ghosting because I don't think it's okay. I don't think it's necessary. I think it's just a way to hide.
I feel like it's okay to ghost people you hardly know because, like, if they get butthurt about it, it's like you're getting butthurt over someone you met 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think
like, how desperate are you? How desperate are you? But like if it's a friend or like someone like you've been seeing a while and you're just like, I'm sick of them. I'm just going to ghost them.
That's just like dog. But I think that's just a personal preference for me because I can't not reply to anyone. Like if anyone messaged me, I reply. If my phone's on me, which is
I'm
most likely.
Messages usually.
If my phone is within reach to me at all times.
I was actually surprised you responded to it. I was like, she probably won't reply. Fair. And then you did. I was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
But like,
no, that's the hard thing. Like I'm actually usually, like I'm pretty bad at texting.
Yeah. Yeah. See, like, I will always reply almost immediately. That's why like when I do find a girlfriend, right, or a girl, and we start texting back and forth.
In my defense, a lot of them are from work.
Holy fucking shit.
That's in my, like.
375 unread messages, guys. what, so
tell me,
trying to get into Estelle's
what,
pants.
What is what is the psychology of that? Like, what, when
get rid
you,
of them.
When you see your phone and you see that number, you're just like, eh.
Before you answer, I want to put it as an analogy, right? Have you ever just not like washed up your dishes for like a week?
Oh yeah.
No. And then when you come in, but you've been with people that do that.
Oh yeah, it sucks.
And like, but then you know at the end of the week, it's going to be a real big chore. Mm. Now she's left it for too long. It's too much effort to get rid of those.
Yeah, it's way too much effort. But also
do
like,
you see the message and you just go, oh, I'm not responding. Oh,
I don't care about that.
Well, I don't respond to all the work ones. In my defense, the work ones that come through, they're always from a different number. They've got this automated thing that they type it up on the computer and they press send. Mm. And it comes up with a different number every single time. Seems and you get about weird. 4 or 5 texts a day.
Fuck
and I'm just
sick,
and I just got sick of deleting.
Don't you miss the pager days?
Oh, we got pages as well. Pages at work. But in terms of like some of the ones on there from friends, there's actually every chance that I don't see it when I open it up because there's so many other messages so many clogged there. It up. That and then I
my
don't
OCD is
the,
killing me.
I don't
right
have
now.
The energy to go through it. Like it's like after we probably chat today, I probably won't really talk to anyone for about 3 days in order to like recharge.
Mm.
That took a long time for me to learn that like being an extrovert through high school and college. Actually like kill
so
me.
Yeah,
how did it work? You're still with Gabe?
Yes.
Yeah, so how did it work when you guys were like started like communicating? Because obviously you'd have
oh
to
he
like-
loved it. He was like, oh my god, she's an independent woman,
don't have to fucking deal with it.
Doesn't have to, doesn't send me messages ever.
Oh, so like but like what I mean is like obviously he would send if he sent you a text and you didn't respond for like a week, how did that work? Like, how did you end up? Would you reply a week later? And be like, oh yeah, hey, I'm still.
I think you're more inclined to actually message back fast. Yeah.
We actually met like 2017, and then we didn't start seeing each other till 2019 because of that exact reason.
Oh, it just took you 2 years.
Took you two years.
The flirting text game took 2 years because
it was
like
it was a month in between each text.
Yeah. What should normally take like a week or two take 2 years because Estelle's just
and then
too
there was like
respond.
The 6 months of like friends with benefits sort of thing before it like it was like oh yeah.
Hey, do you want to come over tonight? Week later, yeah, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
I go by the girl usually. So if the girl is really talkative and they reply back, like because I'm one of those people that will reply to every single thing they said, right? So like if they say a bunch of stuff, I make sure I comment on every single part because nothing annoys me more when you spend like fucking 10 minutes writing out a text message replying to everything and then you just respond to the last bit.
Yeah,
fucking annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah,
so when I meet someone that like does the same thing back, I feel like it's really detrimental because it can happen real fast and then you end up like talking about everything over text before you sort of meet.
Well, that's what kind of happened to me like when I was back on the Tinder days, this one guy who like I was on night shifts and he said he was an insomniac. So he was always awake and we had all these massive chats. I was really getting to like him over the course of a week. As soon as I saw him, met up with him, just never heard from him again. Sort of thing. And I was just like, well, what's the point of this? Mm. So I think there's all little bit of things. And I know with a few of my other kind of friendships, I guess in terms of friendship ghosting, there's definitely some behaviors that I've seen that I don't quite align to. And maybe sometimes.
That's why you ghosted me.
Yeah. No. But also like sometimes like reciprocating kind of thing. Like I would call to wish them a happy birthday
and
sort
they
of thing.
Do it back,
they want to do it back or
that's,
like that
I think
sort
that's
of thing.
Different
so.
Though. Cause I think that's sort of playing the test. Cause I've done that to friends after leaving school and stuff, right? Cause you're friends for a long time and then you end up just realizing that you're always putting the effort in.
Yeah.
And then you'd end up just like, oh, I'm just not going to text you for a bit and see what happens. And then they just don't text back.
And
I think
what like,
I think that's how friends die.
Is when I moved away from Canberra for a little bit. So I went to Goulburn for a couple of years and you probably would have felt it being in Sydney.
100%.
You just kind of fall off. Yeah.
I think we were talking about this off air. It was either you or someone else, but like it takes solid effort to cultivate and manage friendships.
It does.
And like a lot of times people fall into complacency where they're just so used to just being with that person. Like they're not, when they move away, they're not used to sort of making that effort to actually reach out and just be like, how are you going?
And I think it's hard as well because like we would have been cultivating hard as well in those new areas we were, but for them, life went on.
Yeah.
They were still seeing the same people that they were, having the same friendships, not having to put as much effort in. So as soon as we created a distance, we would just fall off.
And if you're not, if you're not actively trying to mend those relationships.
And it's something that I've started to accept more growing up. Like I definitely took it quite hard in the younger years sort of thing. But it's also something where I'm just like, you know what? I still respect these people. I still love these people. Like, there's still levels of love, I
Becoming
believe.
The superficial friendships are just something that they're not sustainable in long term. No. Like the ones where they're just like, oh man, you didn't reply to me for like a month. Like what the fuck? And they were like really angry at you. Like, bro, I'm 28 years old. Yeah. I got work. I got shit to do.
But it's where, like, I can like really love things like this where, like, you know, people that I
haven't seen you in 2 years.
I know. But then we catch up and we just start chatting and it's like no time has passed 100%. At all. It's like that with that quite a large portion of that friendship group, I believe.
I have a very strong memory of you, Estelle, where I hadn't seen you for probably ages.
Was this a graduation?
No, shut up.
Shut your mouth. Probably at one of my parties.
No. So we hadn't seen each other for years as we normally do. And then you came to that party, Matt and Alicia's party in Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the housewarming
party.
Yeah,
the house party. You came to that. And I remember I was sitting there drinking wine and we were just chatting. And I don't know who was with us, but we were just like making them laugh and having the best time. I'm like, oh man, Estelle's a mad dog. This is fucking sweet. Like, I was having the best time. I remember that. That was a really good time. Party.
Because I think we've sort of done that too. We were like, we're just open to have conversations with anyone. Yeah. You know what I mean? So because I was sort of feeling that when I was like, oh man, a couple of years ago, like every single day I was hanging out with at least five or six of our friends. Mm. And then, like, obviously he started realizing when I started living alone, I wasn't really in the group house, sort of forced to be around everyone. Yeah. Like, I was like, man, I haven't hung around with anyone for ages. Mm. And then you start getting upset. You're like, man, what the fuck's no one texting me? And you're just like, how many people am I texting? How many people am I reaching out to? Yeah. Like, it's a two-way street.
And that's and where,
like,
I've started having to accept it more. Yeah. It's just, not me.
Oh, and you and I've also sort of allowing things to do that. Because just like, I'm not, why do I want to text this person? You just be like, really? You're doing it out of nostalgic, right? You want to do it out of the memories you have.
Now as we get older, it's like, I feel like you only see people for events or like occasions.
Well, we all take such different paths, don't we? Like
paths. Man, we're so English in this episode.
But it's one of those things, like, we're all kind of in our own area. Like, I don't know how many of the others are in nursing.
They're all in fucking IT. They're all in fucking IT, man. They speak a different language.
That's naturally taken me away from anyone, basically. 100%.
And it's just a normal thing.
So
I think
see you at ED.
Because even, I remember, because like one of my old friends, James Kroll, I haven't seen him in ages, but like he's a couple of years older than me. And like because we were all hanging out every day still, and he was sort of a couple of years. So he was in that point where his sort of friends were started to, he wasn't hanging out as much, right? And I was like, man, my friends are so like lucky. Like, we've managed to keep our friendship group from school like pretty solid for a long time. And this is like 6-7 years after out of school.
Yeah.
And we're still like super tight. So we're like, man, our friendship's gonna last forever, you know what I mean? And it still has, don't get me wrong, we're still all friends. But he's just like, don't worry, it's gonna subside.
Yeah, it changes.
It's gonna subside. And I was like, what do you mean? He's just like, guarantee people are gonna get into relationships, people are gonna get new jobs, people are gonna move away. And this friendship group that you have is not going to be as cohesive because everyone's going to be taking them other ways. And unfortunately, you just have to be willing to accept that and understand that and allow that to flow, because it's a natural part of life.
Yeah, you know? I feel like it's growing as a person and being that mature kind of understanding.
Not taking it personally. Yes. And it's just like being offended by it because it's nothing against the person, like you. It's more just how life works.
Mm. It's been some good fucking topics,
hasn't it?
Because I think honestly in school it was so easy. It's so easy.
You see every day.
It's so and then because if someone doesn't talk to you at school, it's usually because they hate you or they don't want. There's a reason, right? Mm. So then when you take out of school, you're still in that school mindset, and all of a sudden people aren't talking to you. You take it real personally.
Yeah.
Man, I actually prefer when people don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, I haven't had anyone talk to me for a while. It's been great.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
A lot less drama when there's like your group is like small. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like as we get older as well, less and less like less and less attached to my phone. I mean, you've been on it early. You've always been terrible, but I've only started becoming less and less Oh, I've got a message. Oh, I'll reply to
I've
it.
I've had one mate. She's like, do you throw your phone like 5 meters away as soon as you respond?
That's what fucking yeah. That's what Woz yeah. does. Woz will yeah. literally message me. He'd be like, hey, man, what's going on? I'd be like, hey, man, what's going on? And then nothing, crickets.
Like within the same 30 and seconds,
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, bro, why do you text me a question and then just don't reply to the answer? It drives me up the wall, dude. And then I would like reply like 3 hours later. I'm like, good chat, bro. Thanks. Mm, thanks for that. Mm. And he would always feel bad.
every time he always flakes on something, I sent you. You know, like our community, Troy from community.
Yeah.
He's like that gif where he's like, shocker. Wow.
He's gotten to the point, he literally said to the other day, he was just like, man, I want to get rid of this like reputation of me not showing up. I'm like, do you know how to do that? Fucking show up to places. Show up to places.
Don't
or
flake
just,
out.
Or just don't say you're going to come. And then it's a surprise when you show up. So like,
yeah.
if you just say no to everything and then when you show up, you're like, oh, what's it? Way,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I know. It's just like, You just gotta take the initiative and go to things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, I think it's because me personally, if I agree to do something, I'll do it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, and I think I've proven that with most things I do. If I don't want to do it, you'll know yeah. it because I'll say it.
Not always. You bailed on Ross's birthday the other week.
I did.
Yeah, but look at this guy.
If I say I'll do something, I'll do it.
My defense, I only found out that I was doing that day because I completely forgot about it. Like he texted me like 2 weeks before, right? And he messaged me on Facebook. And he's like, hey man, I'm going to get some people on Friday to like have some drinks, right? And I finished work that morning at 7 a.m. So yeah. I slept all day.
Yeah, I feel that.
And then he didn't give me a reminder text or anything about it. I sent him a birthday text that day because it was his birthday that day, right? Yeah. I sent him a birthday text when I woke up. And I was like, hey man, happy birthday. Keen to catch up for some drinks soon. And he's like, yeah, you mean like tonight? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And at that point, Max was already over. I was already hanging out. Mm-hmm. I was just like, bruh, like, I'm can't not coming. It. Like I was so tired from the night before. I felt really bad though, but I'm going to give him my Chromecast like to like bribe him so he doesn't make me feel bad.
I'll win his friendship back. I'll buy it.
I felt really bad because I love Ross and I literally was just like, I want to catch up incredible. For beers with you, but I felt so bad because at least I feel bad when I flake. Like it's not something I do willy nilly. You know what I mean?
My favorite thing that Chris does, and you know, if you listen to this, Chris, fuck you, I don't give a fuck. Anyway,
Chris,
you know, Woz.
Oh yeah, fuck
but
you,
yeah, Woz. Yeah. But the favorite thing he does is like, hey, come to this thing. Yeah, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, guaranteed.
And then not even a text like, oh, I'm not gonna make it. He just won't rock up.
It's so funny.
Like, it's like his alpha move. Like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be
don't
there.
Don't you worry.
Such never a show. Power move.
And
dude.
So when people are like, oh, is Woz coming? You're like, well, he allegedly. Said he was. So therefore, there's he's like not. A 1 in 5 chance he'll be here. Yeah.
Whenever he says it, I always put allegedly he'll be here.
Allegedly yeah. yeah.
That's a good like, one.
So we got 5 minutes left. Do we want to do one more or what do you guys? We'll do one more. We'll do one more. Right. Hopefully it's not a really-
I'll do this really small one because I saw it in there.
Oh, that's where you're going to go wrong. It's going to be like-
Oh fuck, this is really fucking deep. All right.
Pick a different one.
All right.
We'll save that for that's next a good time. That's a fucking
paper. Just,
just blank puts his paper. Rubbish in the box.
Okay. Difference between hypocrisy and just changing your views. So like the difference between hypocrisy by saying like going back on something you've said and just changing your opinion on something. That's the question.
I think it's intent, really. I mean, if you can admit, like, if you change your view on something and you can, like, kind of admit that you were wrong about
yeah.
it. Well, I mean, I think you can be a hypocrite and then change your views and you're no longer a hypocrite or you can still be. I think you can
but
change your
are
views.
Are you changing it for that particular conversation or are you actually
well, most, like, taking mo- it most on? People that are hypocrites, I find that, like, they don't realize they're doing something that they've said that they don't like doing. You know what I mean? I don't think it's something that they consciously
do. I think it's because I think hypocrite is more like actions, whereas yeah. changing your mind is he's like, it's less on
from,
actions.
From my view of hypocrite is saying is like, say like I'm like punching you in the arm or something and you're like, I don't like that. But and then I keep going and then you punch me in the arm and then I like sue you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's like my view on hypocrite. It's just like,
yeah, yeah.
You're willing to do something on others, but you're
or
not willing
like,
to have
it's like you're
yourself.
In a car and you're like, don't speed, and then you speed all the time.
Yeah, you're like, man, stop tailgating.
But then if you're like, then you're like, oh, actually, I love speeding.
Yeah,
like I guess you're no longer a hypocrite. Yeah. Like I don't know, it's a weird yeah. question.
It is a weird question, and I've definitely written it down because it's my shitty handwriting. But I think it was from someone that I didn't make it up. I can't
I
take
think
the credit.
I yeah, I just
I don't think, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think being a hypocrite, I don't think being a hypocrite is a good thing, honestly. Like, cause I don't know, hypocrites, I remember back
it's
in the-
No,
back
it's
in,
of course not a good thing.
Well, I mean, back in school, it was like one of the things that just fucking just drove me out the wall when someone was obviously being a hypocrite. Like they say one thing and then they just do the other thing straight to your face. You're like, mate, what the fuck are you talking about? You yelled at me this last week to do this. Like, it's just, I hate it. It's just like, it feels like an entitled thing. You
what
know what I mean?
Do you think, Estelle?
Well, to be fair, I'd
that's his way
really.
Of me saying shut up. No, he does that all the time.
I was fine listening.
No, I just like, I feel bad when like, I feel like we've been talking for ages.
No, it's good. I need to be told to shut up sometimes.
No, it's all good.
And I say it, I do it gently. I don't say it directly to you.
I take it.
I just ghost you instead.
You'll never hear from me again.
Two more years. Shit.
I don't know.
That was such a climax, dude. All right, that's fine. That's like perfect timing because we've got 30
I mean, we ended it on a weird one. That's fine. You're going to have to think of three new ones, Estelle. You can do
three.
It
late.
One three. To three. One to three.
Preferably three.
Yeah, as many as
because
you possibly
we
can.
Three.
Okay, do two then.
I don't know if I got you, three brain cells.
You can think and then message them later.
You're going to have one after this.
What are the four H's and T's? Yeah, fuck
what?
Y'all.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck that means. We've only got one more episode. Like, until I move to Sydney.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
just shout out everyone. Yeah, Tim's moving away. He's ditching
me. Sydney.
Yeah. So the podcast is going to be probably virtual from now on.
We're going to figure it out, you know? As from the first episode, we're figuring it out.
It's going to be nice because we can just film it on webcams.
Mm. It's going to be, don't have to fucking use our shitty phones.
You're able to do it like...
We haven't tested it yet, but we've made plans. We've got some software. We have to test it, but we'll figure it out once I move. But we'll figure it out.
I think that's it for today. It's been a good episode.
Good episode. Good thanks, Estelle.
Yeah,
thanks
for
coming
me.
On, dude. You've
so
been
sweet.
Great. This has been a really slap in the face.
No,
here you go. Here you go.
No, it's been good conversation, and I think this is a good way to catch up with people.
It is. It's good that we see people we haven't seen for a while. There's an excuse to hang out.
What do we say, a year and a half?
Yeah, literally, Estelle and I haven't seen each other since last April.
All right,
like April 21.
We'll see Estelle in season 4 of the podcast. That's
sounds
next
good.
Time we'll see her.
I'll book it in.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you guys next. We've got one more episode and then virtual from then.
And so of course,
stay average. Bye.